I don't know. And then towards the end of June will be Dr. Burke.
Thank you. Tonight is Thursday, May 23rd. This is the weekly Chumashir. This is Parshas Ahar. Okay, Rabotai. Okay. As I typically do when I'm asked, I don't like to learn about it, but learning it. I don't use the parsha as a springboard to darshan about various issues, and just like to learn some chumash. So tonight we're going to learn one pasuk, the opening pasuk of Parshas Bahar. See Rashi, Ibn Ezra, the Ramban, Orach Chaim, and then I'm going to suggest something to address one of the most famous questions that has been posed by all parshanim. And I entitled the shir, Har Sinai, Playoffs, using Jim Mora's intonation. So how many people who know Jim Mora is? One. A coach, who was a coach of the Colts, who were floundering for a couple of years.
He's actually an announcer.
What? Okay. So one of the announcers interviewing him, when they were having a shtickle run, they were like maybe a game over 500, they asked him during an interview, what do you think your chances of making the playoffs are? And he said, playoffs? Playoffs? About 10 times. Getting angry at the announcer. What are you, crazy? What are you asking? For something, playoffs, we're not nearly talking about playoffs here. That's the question about Bahar Sinai. Bahar Sinai? Who needs... How does Bahar Sinai come into this picture? We're about to talk about the mitzvah of Shemitah. So that's the most famous question that Rashi asks. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Bahar Sinai leimor. So Rashi asks, Ma inyan Shemitah eitzel har Sinai? Vahalo kol ha-mitzvot ne'emru b'Sinai? All mitzvot are given at Sinai. So Rashi gives his famous answer, Ma Shemitah ne'emru kiloloseha protoseha v'diktukeha mi-Sinai. Just as Shemitah, the generalities and every last detail were transmitted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe at Sinai, Af kulon ne'emru kilolosehen v'diktukehen b'Sinai. So too, every single mitzvah of the Torah followed that particular format. Kach Shinuya B'Toras Kahanim. So what's the difficulty with Rashi's first answer? What's the difficulty? Why would Ibn Ezra and everybody else not be terribly happy with Rashi's interpretation? Yes?
Why not about this? It could be anything.
Exactly. If the purpose is only to communicate that all details, not only the overall general principle, were communicated at Sinai, why did it have to be the mitzvah of Shemitah in order to communicate that lesson? It could have waited, it could have preceded it, it could have delayed it. So let's just imagine we would be talking about the parsha of Tzitzis. So we would say, Vayomer Hashem O Moshe, Behar Sinai Lemor. And Rashi would ask the same question. Ma inyan Shemitah etzel tzitzis. And he gives the exact same answer. So although the question is a compelling one, his answer does not necessarily address the fact why this particular lesson had to be communicated here, specifically in Parshas Bahar, where the mitzvah of Shemitah is introduced. So when you know, when you can readily, when anybody can readily identify a weakness, that's why it pays to go to other parshanim, and we'll do it in sequence. We'll take Ibn Ezra next. So if you look at the bottom of, anybody know why the page is numbered 19? What? Yes, but which one? No, it always depends on the last Yankee victory. So today, Tanaka pitched 6 innings, gave up only 1 run. Wasn't the winning pitcher, number 19, but he pitched well. So that's why he's number. That's why paid.
And if you lost, you put in 26.
What?
And if you lost, you put in 26.
No, no, of course not.
You put in anything.
Just, you know, do it your regular numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4. Of course.
This is a key to win.
Of course. That's the mitzvah of persume misa. Yeah. Says Ibn Ezra, Behar Sinai, Ein mukdam umu'uchar batorah. Ibn Ezra relies on this principle, as does Rashi, quite frequently, and claims that this particular parsha is not in a sequence as it appears in the Torah. Vizu haparsha kodem vayikra v'chol haparshiot shehem acharav. Parshat Behar was actually recorded, stated, transmitted before the entire Sefer Vayikra. Ki hadibur Behar Sinai. Because the conversation, the Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe, obviously was at Har Sinai. And Har Sinai precedes the events of Mamad Har Sinai, precede the entire Sefer Vayikra. Ve'ata karat habrit haktuva b'parshat ve'ele hamishpatim. If you remember the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Perek Chav Dalet of Sefer Shemot. So if you flip back for a second, if you have a chumash, not everybody brought a chumash, okay. I would have then focused that all. It's not a prerequisite. This is a chumash class. So you'd think you'd open up a chumash. Your father would have killed the student if he walked into school without a Gemara. I understand, but the Maramakomas are the additional things because the Chumashim out there don't have Ibn Ezra, Ramban, or Rechai. They only have Rashi. Phones, okay. So, fine. So it's Perek Chavdalid of Sefer Shemot. So Perek Chavdalid of Sefer Shemot looks like a repeat of Mamad Har Sinai. Looks like a repeat of Mamad Har Sinai. It says, Ve'el Moshe Omar Alei El Ahar, I want you to go up. You'll remain there for 40 days. You're not going to eat. You're not going to drink. And in fact, Ibn Ezra and Rashi Al-Attar in Shemot chapter 24 believe that Shemot chapter 24 is also not in its proper location. It belongs right before Perek Chaf. Perek Chaf in Yisro is the transmission of the Aseret HaDibrot. It opens up Vayedaber Elohim et hadvarim ha'elo leimor Anochi Hashem Elokecha. All of chapter 19 is the background information to the unfolding of Mamad Har Sinai. That's 19. So part, the end of 19, transitioning into 20, is where Chaf Dalet belongs. So Ibn Ezra now claims this particular parsha is attached to Perek Chaf Dalet. Perek Chaf Dalet is already attached to what? To Perek Chaf. So this event is taking place at Har Sinai. So don't be so shocked that the Torah reports that this event is at Har Sinai, because that's exactly where they are standing, at Har Sinai. V'hizkira b'makom hazeh, and the reason why the Torah decided to make reference to Har Sinai in this location, lichaber Tina'e Ha'aretz, in order to highlight the fact that the promise to award us Eretz Yisrael hinges on that which is taking place at Sinai, namely a commitment to Shmirat HaMitzvot, particularly which mitzvot? The mitzvah of Shemitah. as we will read in Parshas Bechukosai, where the Torah says, during the Tochecha, Oz Tirtzeh Haaretz Et Shabtoteha. Once Am Yisrael are exiled, the land will have an opportunity to rest the equivalent number of years that it failed to rest during the Shemitah years. Am Yisrael abandoned 70 Shemitot. 70 Shemitot. So therefore they had to be in exile for 70 years so that the land would have a chance to rest and recover its nutrients for 70 years of Shemitah. So the function of Har Sinai here is to let you know that as one of the conditions, specific conditions of entry into Eretz Yisrael, is to observe the laws of Shemitah. And if you don't observe the laws of Shemitah, under those circumstances, you forfeit your privilege of living in Eretz Yisrael. V'ka'asher omar al ho'arayot ki ba'avuram taki ha'aretz otam. Just as two parshiot ago, says Ibn Ezra, the Torah established another link between Eretz Yisrael and observance of a mitzvah. That was the parsha of Arayot. It appears in Achrei Mot, in Perek Yudchet, and in Perek Chaf, at the end of Kedoshim, where the Torah states that you should observe all of these laws, and if you don't, if you do, v'lo taki ha'aretz etzchem, the land will not expunge you, like throw up. And Rashi there says, because Eretz Yisrael cannot tolerate the violation of these particular laws, can't tolerate it. So just as the Torah made a reference in relationship to Arayot, here it's making a reference to the observance of these mitzvot. Kach amar beparshat im bechukotai al shabsos haaretz. So too in Parshat Bechukosai in the Tochecha, it says black on white, you don't need a medrash, oz tirtzeh haaretz et shabtoteha. Then, when you are exiled, the land will have an opportunity to rest. So Ibn Ezra makes the startling claim that this particular parsha and the entire Sefer Vayikra were actually delivered prior to the way they are recorded here. So that would mean before anything that took place with the building of the Mishkan, before the Chet HaEgel, all of these mitzvot were recorded at Sinai at that particular time. Yes?
But doesn't answer the question. So why don't we have the very beginning of Vayikra Hashem, whatever, but our Sinai?
Excellent question. So then, if you believe that this is the... Why does it have to be specifically here? That's the question he doesn't answer. That is correct.
He does.
How?
He's saying that it's got to be connected to the person. And is he saying that...
No, but he said all of the parsha at the beginning of Vayikra are out of order. Not just this one.
All of Vayikra.
So at the beginning of Vayikra, say, Vayikra Hashem El Moshe, Bahar Sinai... Ba'ohel Moed Lemor. It wouldn't be Ba'ohel Moed then, because Ohel Moed didn't exist.
That's against him saying that it was all.
That is correct. That's another difficulty. He's saying that all of Sefer Vayikra. I don't know. Why didn't he just suffice by saying that's why Shemitah is mentioned? But you have to get involved with the whole Sefer Vayikra. Exactly. Why is that so compelling that Korbanot had to be given prior to Mamet Har Sinai? Or prior to anything that's on foot?
Well, maybe he's trying to get the hooks of whether or not
Korbanot is a reaction.
Reaction or not.
Could be.
Maybe he's
saying that is possible. That is possible. Fine. So, we move on, which... See what the Ramban says, right next door here, the Ramban writes.
Rabbi, doesn't he have an Ezra in the index 1 answer that question? Am I reading it wrong? He's safe of Yerbohala Deber, in Vayikra was all on the mind, except Ba'od Shatim Parshatena.
No, that he's making reference to that, but that's not what Ibn Ezra said.
That's why you wouldn't say
he said, Zu Parsha Kodem Vayikra V'chol HaParsha Shehim Acharav. Okay, so, right, so I made a mistake. He's claiming that Vayikra was in the Ohel Moed, but Bahar and Bechul Kosai were preceded it.
Right.
Correct? You're right, stand corrected. 100%.
So
this is introducing Bahar and Bechul Kosai. That's all. Yeah. So if you take a look at the Ramban, first, as he often does, he quotes Rashi, and then in line 4, end of line 4, he explains what he thinks is what Rashi is saying. Vinirali shekach pirusho lefi shelo matzinu shmitat karkaot shenishneit ba'arvot moav. The mitzvah of Shemitah is not to be found, Shemitas karka, as opposed to shmitat ksafim, is not to be found in Sefer Dvarim. Not to be found in Sefer Dvarim. Uba hakatuv velimeid kan al kol dibur shenidbar leMoshe b'Sinai shemiSinai hayu kloseh v'tikdukeyen v'chazru v'nishnu be'arvos Moav. This is Rashi's second interpretation. Second interpretation. Doesn't quote initially, quotes initially Rashi's first interpretation. This is Rashi's second interpretation. Namely, that on account of the fact, Sefer Dvarim, it happens to be the Ramban's theory if you read his introduction, the entire Sefer Dvarim is a review of mitzvot that are going to be particularly relevant as they get into Eretz Yisrael. Now, one would have expected that Shemitah is a most relevant topic to be found in Sefer Dvarim. Expect it. Shemitah certainly is. And yet, it doesn't appear. What does appear is Shemitat Safin. The fact that when the Shemitah year lapses, all outstanding debts are cancelled. That there is a lengthy Parsha in Parshat Re'eh. But Shemitas Safin doesn't appear. And it should have been there. What? Shemitah's Karka, as is described here, should have appeared here. So what's the purpose of mentioning Har Sinai here? The pas uba hakatuv limeid kan al kol dibur shenidaber leMoshe b'Sinai shemi Sinai hayu klaloseyan v'titukeyan v'chazru v'nishnu ba'arvas Moav. So listen to this answer. I repeat them here. I state it here in Parshas Behar, in Sefer Vayikra. I make a reference to Har Sinai to teach me that what? That it was delivered at Har Sinai. And what else? And what else? Repeated in Arvas Moav, even though there is no reference to it in Arvas Moav. And the Ramban himself says, "Ze einenu nachon." This is not right. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why would the Torah make a reference here at the end of Sefer Vayikra to tell me, you know what? This is going to be mentioned in, it's going to be reviewed in Arvas Moav, even though it doesn't appear in Sefer Dvarim. It's a very weak, again, it's incredibly difficult. And in fact, if you look at Abarbanel, he takes the Ramban to task about his entire introduction and function of Sefer Dvarim, and he asks 1,500 questions, as he always does. Says, if you go through the list of mitzvot that are actually appear in Sefer Dvarim for the very first time, lots of them, many of them have nothing to do with the fact that they're about to go into Israel and they require a review. For example, he says, how come the laws of divorce don't appear any place except in Sefer Dvarim? You mean to tell me throughout the 40 years in the desert, nobody got divorced. Now we're coming into Eretz Yisrael?
They will die.
What?
That's the problem.
Okay.
They will die.
They didn't all die in the same time. They could have divorced during the 40 years. But why does it have to be explained as being relevant to Knesset Eretz Yisrael? Well, what's the connection? There are lots of such mitzvot. Yibum and lots of other mitzvot. So anyhow, right. So he has several questions on Rashi. And then he says, V'eino nachon be'einai klal. There are lots of mitzvot that have not been reviewed in Arvos Moav. V'noda bohen shenemak klolosen pratosen misinai oba'o moed. So then the Torah should say a mitzvah that is going to be repeated or not repeated in Arvos Moav. Why don't you find another mitzvah? Why is it only in relationship to Shemitah? Again, to make this point that it's a mitzvah that appears at Sinai, it belongs for Eretz Yisrael, a repeat for Eretz Yisrael, but it's not found in Arvos Moav. This is not the only mitzvah for which this factor happens to appear. So if you go down to the bottom of the page, he'll tell you why he thinks what's happening here. Ulefi dati kinichtiva kan beseder nachon. Number one, says Ramban, as he always does, I never accept the principle of Ein Mukdam U'Meuchar BaTorah. There's only one time that I'm compelled to do so. That is with Bamidbar chapter 1 and chapter 9. Because chapter 9 of Sefer Bamidbar, the date provided is the first month of the year, of the second year, having gotten out of Mitzrayim, so it's Nisan, 15 days before the first anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's chapter 9. Chapter 1 is 15 days after the first anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim, first of the month of Iyar. So obviously it's out of order. So the Ramban says, what can I do? I have to accept it there. But I don't necessarily apply it anyplace else. So that's what he says. Ki nichtevo kan beseder nachon, ki perush bahar Sinai, be'aloto sham likabel luchot shniyot. What it means, bahar Sinai, is to emphasize that this was not occurring during the first time that Moshe went up, and approximately on the sixth or seventh day of the month of Sivan, but rather on the second time which Moshe went up, which is Rosh Chodesh Elul, and he comes down on Yom HaKippurim. Ubiar he'inyin, and I'll explain what I have in mind, ki b'tchilat arba'im yom, page 45, ki b'tchila eile hadvarim ashetziva Hashem la'asot otam b'meleches ha'mishkan. V'hine kiblu hadavar b'simcha. When Moshe came down, they accepted what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had asked them to do with joy. V'yatzu milufanav miyad, uba'u kulam v'natnu hanidava. Everybody enthusiastically contributed to the making of the Mishkan. V'asu hamishkan, v'heshlimu milachto, v'kashahukam miyad v'yikro el Moshe v'yedaber Hashem elav me'el moed. As soon as the Mishkan was completed, then Sefer Vayikra starts unfolding. V'tzivahu b'korbanot u'b'chol Torah Kohanim. U'Moshe tziva hakol el Aaron ve'el banav el kol Yisrael miyad. U'kasher hishlim, when he finished all of the laws of the korbanot, and what is relevant to the Kohanim, od tziva Hashem oti bahar Sinai, lifaresh lachem hashmita v'hayovel, v'lichrot lachem al kol ha-mitzvah ha-mishpatim, berit chadasha be'ala u'bishvua. V'lo hutzrach atash yizbach zvachim, v'yizrok chatzi adam al ha'am, v'achatzi adam al ha-mizbeach, kasher asa b'rishona. But what's happening here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, after he now finished all of what we call Torah Kohanim, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds us that Moshe reminds us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him as part of the new covenant that he had made with Am Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel, and Moshe goes up, comes down a second time, there has to be a totally new covenant. And that now, that covenant is including specifically Eretz Yisrael and many of the laws of Eretz Yisrael. So it is Bahar Sinai. Why does it say Bahar Sinai? According to the Ramban, Bahar Sinai, it's after Har Sinai. It's not going back to the original Har Sinai experience. It's going back to the second Har Sinai experience. Yeah?
Does that mean that if we didn't have a situation of the Egel, that we wouldn't have Shemitah? It, now, is that what he's saying?
That's what it appears that he was saying. There was no reference to it during his 40 days on Har Sinai. We don't exactly know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe. We believe he told him the entire Torah, but that's not what the Ramban is saying. You're right. Some of this was first presented anew after the second arrival at Har Sinai. Now he comes down, so on the day he comes down, Yom Kippur, the next day starts Parshiyot, Truma, Tetzaveh, and so on and so forth. Vayakal and Pekudei. Then, now, this is somewhat difficult according to the Ramban's own opinion.
Because it's out of order.
Because this was out of order.
Right.
The Ramban himself believes that the entire Mishkan, the Tzivoy of the Melech HaMishkan, preceded the Chet HaEgel. Preceded the Chet HaEgel. And that Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakal and Pekudei and Kisisa are all in order. No, Vayakal and Pekudei are after. Truma, Tetzaveh before. Exactly. The way he's presenting it here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no plans for this whatsoever. Comes down after Har Sinai, second time, tells them all of Sefer Vayikra. That's what it says at the opening pasuk of Sefer Vayikra. Vayikra Hashem el Moshe b'Oel Moed Lemar. And then, now he says, there's something else that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to include in his second covenant. What is that? The mitzvah of Shemitah and the rest of Parshas Bahar Mechukosa. So he keeps it in order, but as the question was just asked, it's a very difficult read in terms of our understanding and absolute belief that all Taryag mitzvot were communicated to Moshe the very first time at Sinai. And his second ascension upon the mountain was only to clear up the mess of the Chet HaEgel and to carve out the second Luchot. That's what he did. But not that the whole Torah is being transmitted once again. It's a very difficult interpretation. So, we have to go to a fourth possibility, which is Or HaChaim.
Can you explain Rabbi Avraham number 45?
Well, sure. Do you know 45?
I know a lot of 45s. It's
who was the Yankee? Today was the DH. He was not the first baseman today. Luke Voigt. Yeah. Now 29 is Urshela because he had a bases loaded hit that tied up, that gave the Yankees. It was a big hit at the time. Good. So Or HaChaim says, Tzorich Lodas, Lama Hizkir Har Sinai B'mitzvah Zu. V'hagam sherab oseinu zal amru ki lelame bo shekol ha-mitzvahs nemer kol osein b'rat the same. Adai nishla kol mishel oseinu lama lo limeid ze ela b'mitzvah zu b'duyak. Why would there be this lesson have to be communicated here? V'lo b'mitzvah rishona o achrona. Either do it the very first mitzvah that you're talking about or the last mitzvah. So it will serve as a binyanah for all of them. But why in the middle, Stam in Parshas Bahar?
Which is the first?
What?
Which is the first?
Whichever first mitzvah you want to identify. Which would be, let's say, Ve'elah HaMishpatim HaShetasim Lefneim. preceded it.
Bris Sinai.
So that's any time after Har Sinai. So the first mitzvot that appear after the Aseres HaDibros would be Elohei Chesed HaHezav Lo Satsuniti Mizbach Adama. Should have been at the end of Parshas Yisro, or at the very last mitzvah of the Torah, which is the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah. So when you introduce the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah, you write, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this mitzvah Bahar Sinai. And you'll teach us every single mitzvah, how was Bahar Sinai, every last detail of every single mitzvah. So he writes, right, the ulai kilitzad shehizkir matnas haaretz dechsiv ashi ani no sein dikdek lomer bahar Sinai lomar ki machmas har Sinai peirush mashekiblu bo he shenigmira hamatana she'al minat Torah natan Hashem et haaretz. Since the pasuk says, introducing the mitzvah of Shemitah, Asher ani nosein lochem, what is the matana of Eretz Yisrael hinge on? The fulfillment of everything that is represented at Har Sinai. So, yeah.
Isn't that the scene also at the end of Kedosha? Doesn't God say the same thing? That Archon also points out that he gives it as a matana.
Correct.
So why after here, Benena? Lomochem attempt to choose a matana. I mean, Benena lochem. The rest are the same thing.
So he writes in his next paragraph, because it doesn't say, doesn't always say in the mitzvot in Kedoshim and others, Asher Ani, although it refers to mitzvot of Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't say Asher Ani no sein lochem.
It says Atmen lochem. Throw them out, and then it says, "Hashem says, I'm giving you a Yerusha, and I'm giving it to you." So he's saying, "I'm giving it to Saul." Same thing, no?
Okay. Good question. Could have made that same comment there. Okay. Good point. So again, Or HaChaim says that the Har Sinai is designed to teach us that mitzvot, or the actual gift of Eretz Yisrael, is now linked to Shmirat HaMitzvot. Now that idea is not terribly foreign, because many claim the Brit that is established in Arvos Moav, which we read about in Parshas Nitzavim, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem. What's the purpose? Le'avrecha Bivrit Hashem Elokecha Uve'alato. So why is there a necessity to establish another covenant with Am Yisrael in Arvos Moav? So many say, and that's the simple reading, that it's a special covenant to include Eretz Yisrael. Torah at Sinai, the Bris Sinai, does not necessarily make reference at all to Eretz Yisrael. Its obligations, its covenantal relationship is much broader. Has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. It has to do with Am Yisrael per se. But if you want to include Eretz Yisrael in the bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu establishes with Am Yisrael, therefore another covenant is established, Har Grizim and Har Evel, and there HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you observe my mitzvot, I promise you Eretz Yisrael. So that idea, which Or HaChaim claims is hinted to here, Bahar Sinai, is the entire fulfillment of all of Parshas Nitzavim, where another covenant is made. So there are three covenants that we can speak of: Brit Avot, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu initiated with Avraham; Brit Sinai, which takes place at Har Sinai; and then Brit Arvot Moav, which takes place at the conclusion of Moshe's life, and actually implemented by Yehoshua as he takes Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. But if Or HaChaim were correct, you don't really need this lesson here, because as I just said, you have a whole parsha in the Chumash, so it doesn't have to say Bahar Sinai to teach me the link between Eretz Yisrael and Shmirat HaMitzvot when you have the entire Parshas Nitzavim handling it. So I would like to suggest a different answer and focus on the question which all of you asked: why is this phrase only in context of Shemitah? So my what I'd like to suggest is as follows. If you were to take a survey and see which mitzvah is the most difficult in the Torah to observe, the one that would challenge the core belief in your existence, in your belief of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the one that you had to have the greatest emunah, bar none, which mitzvah would you select? So I'm going to select the mitzvah of Shemitah. Mitzvah of Shemitah. And ask you to just juxtapose an agricultural life with life that exists right here in the midst of the 21st century. And just imagine that the principles of the mitzvah of Shemitah were not limited only to agricultural pursuit, but that no matter what you are doing, you are asked to go ahead and stop working for an entire year. An entire year. And then the following people would be hounding you. The first of the month, the bank. Where's your mortgage payment? Then whenever you get your electric bill, PSE&G. And then the phone bill. And then you want to buy food. You know, Pathmark, or Olav Hashalom, Pathmark, right? Whatever it is, Grand and Essex, wherever it is, Stop and Shop, whatever it is, tuition yeshivas, tuition bills. It would be almost impossible for anybody to observe that type of a lifestyle. That once every 7 years, you do not engage in productive activity to generate any funds. Right. Dr. Wiesen will tell the hospital, I'm not working this year. Tell Summit Medical Group, this year I don't work. It doesn't work that way. It's very difficult. So Moshe Rabbeinu is prepared for that type of reaction to every single farmer who he is about to tell the mitzvah of Shemitah. So now, let's go back to page 53, who closed out today's game, not 54, 53, not 50, come on, you got to know something. Look it up.
Your only guess.
What?
Your only guess.
Okay.
I know that two names were retired.
Britain. Britain. Not Chapman. Britain closed today's game. So if you look at Shmot, this is the end of Sefer of Parshas Yisro. So we're going to look at two psukim. Vayomru el Moshe. Everybody was panic stricken at Har Sinai. Panic stricken. And they come running to Moshe. Daber ata imanu v'nishme'a. The Al Yidaber Imanu Elohim Pen Amut. Please, you serve as an intermediary. We do not want to hear the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it communicates his mitzvot. You speak and we will hear. And because if we're going to continue to be exposed to this, we're going to die. So how does Moshe respond? Vayomer Moshe Elohim. Al Tira'u. Do not be afraid. And you're going to hear the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. Why? Ki leva'avur nasot etchem bo Elohim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to uplift you. Nes means an uplifting. He wants to give you an uplifting experience by speaking to you directly. And then, uba'avur tihiye yir'ato al pinechem levilti techato. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to speak to you? Because whenever you face a weakness in yourself and you're not 100% sure whether you can muster enough courage and strength to observe a particular mitzvah, you'll just flash in your mind the image of Mamad Har Sinai and then Livilti Sechato. That will give you sufficient courage and strength to summon enough emunah and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you will not transgress. Moshe knows, as I said earlier, that Shemitah is going to be the most difficult mitzvah that he's going to ask Am Yisrael to observe. The most. So now, standing several months away from Mamad Har Sinai, this is certainly after, if we follow the sequence of the text, it's well after the building of the Mishkan, so we're up to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, almost a year having left Mitzrayim, 6 months, 7 months having left Har Sinai. What does Moshe now do? I know it's going to be a tough challenge. So before I introduce the mitzvah, I'm going to remind him, Rabbeisai, do you remember what happened when we stood at Har Sinai? Do you remember what that was all about? Do you remember those kolos, subrakim, and so on and so forth? Just try to digest that. I'm going to give you a minute, says Moshe, to think about it. And now I'm going to hit you with the mitzvah of Shemitah. If you think about what the Mamad Har Sinai, its purpose in its dialogue directly from Am Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Am Yisrael, I know why, by the mitzvah of Shemitah, Moshe brings it up. Because he's worried that they're not going to be able to muster sufficient strength. And therefore, this is the formula, Tihiyeh Yirato Al Pneichem, Livilti Techato. We all have to have images in our mind to represent that Har Sinai. We weren't at Har Sinai. Yeah, sure, in the Medrash's eyes we were. But in reality, we were not at Har Sinai. So what it calls upon us to identify a figure in our mind whose connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such, was such, so that when I think about that individual or that event, whatever it is, I now can be inspired the exact same way in which Moshe is now challenging Am Yisrael to remind them of Har Sinai. Whether it's a parent, a teacher, an event that may have taken place in your life. And when one finds themselves in a moment of weakness, which we all find ourselves, you flash that image in your mind, and hopefully that image will serve as the catalyst, Uba'avur tiyeh yirato al pneichem levilti techeto, and therefore it's here, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe, Behar Sinai Lemor.
So why
doubt
the
Baha?
Because
that's what he's talking about, Shemitah.
So in other words, it just happens to be wherever
Shemitah is, that's what it would have been. That would have been Bahar Sinai.
Who is it?